It's all about two- and four-legged listeners. It's Nathan here from What The Bark. I'm here with George, as ever. George, welcome back.
Hey, welcome, Nathan. But it's a special one today.
I was thinking you looked extra, yeah, glowing today. I think it's because we're here in person recording.
I apologize for the laughter there in the background. But yeah, we're here. Nathan has come all the way down to Melbourne. So we thought, let's do the podcast not only live, but face to face.
Exactly. And you know, we've got the full experience. We're here in the Orivet office.
Which I'm not wearing today, but I will wear.
Bucket hat.
The Orivet bucket hat. The Orivet beach cap. Anyone listening, maybe I could offer that as a prize.
I think it's a great prize.
But yeah, great to see you, Nathan. We're going to catch up. Got a bit to do. And we're going out for dinner tonight.
We are. We've got a bit of a dinner. You know, it's not often we get to catch up. Very nice. And we've got, you know, special guests, Mary and Charlie as well, wandering around. So you might hear them in the background panting and barking.
Yeah, Mary loves it when guests come and sit around the board table because it usually means biscuits will be shared or treats. So they're hanging around. No, Mary. Charlie's sort of relaxed. But yes, and it's good because it's good that you're here live and face-to-face because today's topic is quite controversial.
It is controversial. I think this came up in the, you know, the news recently, and it's not completely new, but it's a very interesting area. And I thought, you know, when I sent George the article about it, we were like, this is a meaty topic that we need to bring to the listeners.
And you know what, Nathan? Funny enough, I tend to get this question maybe once or twice a year, and it's a question I've had pretty much from 15 years ago when I started.
It's a genetics question.
It's a genetics question, and it's usually a question someone would ask me, you know, when it's time for their cat and dog to sort of, you know, it's getting old, you're looking for another, you know, another Charlie or another Mary.
Yes. And I asked you this question before as well.
Yes, you did. Would I do it to Charlie? So I suppose it all starts with, if we say Dolly the sheep.
Yes, I think that might give listeners a clue because that was the first cloned animal, the first example of animal cloning back in 1996.
Correct. And the reason you've asked me to talk about this topic, or we've decided to talk about this topic, is because it made the news.
It did. There's a few little companies that have popped up in the last probably 5 to 10 years. You know, some in the US, one in the US, one in South Korea, I think one in China as well. Correct. And they've all started this idea of, you know, pet animal cloning, dogs, cats, even horses, for, you know, members of the public that have, you know, maybe lost a dog or about to lose their dog, and they think, I can't bear the thought of not having little Charlie or Mary me.
I want the Charlie and Mary that I had, but it's not that easy. So let's think. It was a company. You shot me the email.
Yeah, so this particular article was about a company called Synergene Biotechnology, based out of China. And they have a huge facility there as well, many levels and many floors, that are dedicated to the cloning of pet animals. So members of the public that, you know, have a bit of cash to spare, and we'll talk about it.
It's not cheap. If you thought a full breed profile was expensive, sit down for this one. If you thought registering a dog
this
is like...
Yeah, this is next level.
You need a lot of cash.
But we'll come back to that. But yeah, and obviously they've got a whole lab of scientists that are specifically focused on cloning these animals.
Correct. And Synergen. Now, if you Google clone dogs, there's even a paid ad.
Yeah.
For Synergene that you can inquire and have a look and have a listen. You're right. I think this company is out of China. I think started about 2017.
Yeah. When I was having a look, they said about 500 completed orders so far for
that's a lot of cash.
It's a lot of cash because let's dive into it. It is around about $50,000. American.
Well, I think you're at the low end. It's between $50,000 to $100,000 is what they're charging. So, you know, the cost is when I've just done some research here, not that I'm ever going to look at. So the question is, would I pay $100,000 to get another Charlie? Mm. And they say it's really, the cost is in the complexity of the procedure.
Yes.
The storing of the sample. Because, you know, you can't store you can't clone an animal from a swab sample.
No, not at all.
You need a really high quality, high quantity DNA, which your store, I think, believe is in...
It's in low freezing temperatures. Correct. It's sort of cryogenic freezing type of thing. Correct. Yes. But actually, maybe we should talk about, yeah, how it works, because I, you know, I did a bit of reading about this, and I think from what I've read, you know, the obviously, as George said, George, you're the geneticist. My understanding from
I'm
what
gonna,
I've read.
I'm going to be out there. I am not an expert when it comes to the cloning.
That's fair. So I'm, that's fair.
You go ahead and tell me what you've read, because I've done the same thing.
What I've read is that they obviously, they have to take this very hefty sample of the original dog before it, you know, when it's a bit older, before it passes away, of course. And they will take the sort of, you know, the cell, they'll create a cell nucleus effectively.
Yeah.
And then what they'll do is they'll have a donor egg, which will have the nucleus removed, the cell nucleus removed, and they'll then put the nucleus of your dog into that sort of donor egg, and they'll foster that as an embryo, and then they'll put the embryo into a surrogate mother.
Correct.
And that, you know, obviously is a live breeding dog who, you know, ready to have pups. And then 2 months later, lo and behold, you've got a little genetically identical pup to your Charlie or Mary.
From this somatic cell that it was taken from. Correct. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. And as you mentioned before, it's come a long way since the first cloning of an animal, which was Dolly the sheep, which was in 1996.
Yeah.
Where they took... It was seen as a major scientific breakthrough and, of course, created all this discussion of, you know, cloning an animal. The benefits.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ethical questions as well.
Correct. You know, could we cope with another genetic George?
I think one is enough.
Well, you know, think about it.
Couldn't replicate you.
Oh, could you imagine the business model? You clone a genetic George, you stick one in China, you stick one in the US, you stick one in Europe, you become the largest... the largest genetic testing organisation. But, you know, this is where I say it doesn't work, because Genetic George has become Genetic George through the people and the environment he has grown up in.
Well, this is the question, and this is the big, you know, maybe the, you know, thing that a lot of people might not realise, is that you can have a genetically identical, and it's like twins, genetically identical, but personality-wise... You know, you can never completely replicate the temperament, the personality of a dog.
Correct. If you had have grabbed me and stuck me in an environment full of cats instead of dogs, you would have had a cat expert. You know, this is what it is, the environment. I could have been in somewhere where it was just cold and miserable. I never went out much and didn't socialise much. I could have been boring, George. So this is where, when people ring me, I think a lot of the time, Nathan, it's based on an emotion.
Yeah, of course.
That you've just lost your Charlie, and you're looking for something. Because you know what? Charlie was perfect. Mm. He was the great dog. Mm. You'd throw a ball, he'd fetch it and bring it right back to you. You know, when he'd fart and you knew it was Charlie's fart. So people are looking to get exactly the same Charlie. But let's have a think about what that Charlie went through, the environment he came through. Yeah. I got him here at the age of 16 weeks, shipped down from Queensland. I could have easily, you know, stuck him out in the backyard and made him just simply a dog that I only took for a walk.
Yeah.
Would I give him the same attention? So this is where it's, what is it, that nature versus...
Nature-nurture, right? Yes, I think you're right. And, you know... At the end of the day, I mean, some owners think, well, I had the dog as a puppy, so they're going to have the same upbringing and environment. And look, you might get pretty close, but yeah, I think people that are looking for an exact replica, you know, it's not going to be a perfect identical match.
Yeah, I agree.
Match.
Like, I can't believe how well this podcast is going with you actually being here. I was a bit concerned that I was going to freeze. What am I going to do? Nathan's here in the flesh. Will this podcast work? No, it's working, Nathan.
It's easy. It's nice. I actually, Zoom is just, you know, it's not the same as being in person.
So maybe you know, I should be flying up and you should be flying down every month so we can... Yeah. Just to the listeners, though, does it sound better?
We've got the good gear as well. So
I'm holding this microphone. Don't worry. I know where all the money goes from Rightport to all their production. I'm using, it's just really... So, yes, that's the question, nature versus nurture. Could you, And the other thing I see is most of these people that are probably paying for this service are affluent, got money that they just...
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like, I think it really depends. Like, I was doing some, obviously, reading about different people before this, and I think, you know, you hear stories of, you know, just... You know, average run-of-the-mill people. I read about it. It was a police officer in New York that found a rescue dog, you know, fell in love with her and, you know, had a number of years. And then when she, you know, was close to, you know, getting you know, into her prime years, he thought, I couldn't bear to be without her. So he did. And, you know, this is someone, you know, average run-of-the-mill guy. But then on the flip side, you've got, you know, you read stories about Barbara Streisand. Who it came out, she actually cloned her. She did. She cloned her dog. She actually got two clones of her Barbara, of her dog.
What are you doing, Barbara? Look, again, someone who's just got spare money. But it's sort of, you're talking working dogs, and, you know, when you read a lot of the where could you use cloning in an area which could improve, working dogs always comes up.
Yes.
Because the ability, because you're talking about a fairly limited gene pool, especially if you've got good working dogs, and trying to maintain that gene pool can sometimes be challenging, especially you've got a particular working dog that is just brilliant. It's hard to reproduce that. So maybe there are, you could use it in areas of working dogs I've read. There is some benefits maybe you could see there.
Yeah, I think it's, when you look at the whole spectrum of, you know, okay, there's the whole pet angle, which is expensive and which is, you know, maybe a bit vain, maybe you could argue as well. Yep. But yeah, you're right. Like there are lots of working dogs where it could have a real benefit, you know, whether it's service dogs or, you know, police dogs. I've heard, you know, again, in reading, there were a few examples where you had a particularly brilliant police dog and you wanted to, you know, replicate that temperament because, you know, when we had Pauline on the podcast, you remember, you know, there's a whole process of, you know, training that they have to go through and not all dogs pass. So if you can find a dog that's more genetically primed to pass and be a seeing eye dog or a service dog or a police dog, then of course, like, it makes sense to, you know, to do that.
And, you know, I just don't like it. I'll tell you why too, Nathan. If, you know, everyone started cloning their French bulldog, there'd be no genetic testing needed. Test it once.
And you'd then be out of business.
I'd be out of business.
Well, let's hope it stays.
So, you know, but then you think, well, is the 50,000 you're outlaying saving you, you know, the 50, give me 50,000 of genetic testing and I'll give you a good dog anytime. So you're right. And there's other areas that I read sometimes that people can use it for. Of course, if you've got organ transplant issues and you want to produce an organ to, but again, it's euthanizing an animal to use the organ against. Again, ethics, I don't want to go there, but there are some areas you can use it in, I suppose, and that's one of them.
Yeah, but that's what, you know, before the podcast started, I asked George, I was like, George, you know, Charlie, you know, he's hanging around here somewhere. You know, would you ever do it?
The answer is no.
No.
I wouldn't. So, I mean, there is the other one that we've heard about, the Tassie tiger.
Mm? Yeah, which has, I guess, been extinct animals.
Extinct
that's
animal.
True. Yeah, that's,
and they're looking at using cloning and trying to... So the issue there is who would actually carry this embryo? You know, what would you put it in? That's another area. At least if you clone, you've got a similar breed. So, again, you can use it for endangered species, but really bringing back an animal that has been wiped out is, humans have wiped it out, and it's just an easy cop out for me to be able to go, you know what, we'll bring it back. So, you know, we need to be wary of just some of the ethics here. And as you said, the key thing I think people need to understand, you just can't, you know, you brought up Pauline before, but I can assure you, even breeders listening, you know, trying to replicate temperament and behaviour.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. I think, you know, if you spoke to breeders, you could have, that's the thing. You can do the same mating, you can do the same, you can try and replicate, but it's
same
all about
bitch,
the personality.
Same sire, you know, mate, you get a litter, and within that litter is variation in the, and I'm sure you can change some of that behaviour by physical environment, you know, putting your puppies through a different socialisation procedure again could change it.
Absolutely.
So all that changes temperament, I think.
Yeah, and there's a lot of research done. I mean, even dogs that are raised on, you know, like a puppy culture style socialization program versus, you know, or maybe not. Yeah, the upbringing that they've raised, raised in will make the biggest difference.
So, you know, you can't get this carbon copy. And the last thing you want to see is people handing in their pet into a rescue or a pound because the Charlie they cloned and spent $50,000 on is not the Charlie they thought they were. Could you imagine that? Yes. Or you've just spent... Oh, I'm sorry, you know, Charlie's not the Charlie I thought he'd be. Well, you know, again, it's just... It has a nice ring and you know, headline about it, cloning an animal. But really, when you sit down and go through the science and really whether it works, I think you're going to go to yourself, is it $50,000 I've spent wisely?
Yeah. No, and look, there's the other element of it as well, which is, you know, rescue dogs and dogs that are out there, you know, that need a home. You know, it's that whole, you know, do you need another to bring another dog into the world type of thing as well. So yeah. That, you know, but look, I was looking back through, here we go, looking back through some of our you know, articles and research. So yeah, Barbara Streisand, we talked about her back in 2018. She used Viagen, which is the American cloning Viagen. Business. So as I said, there's Viagen. You know, they're probably the biggest one. They're based out of Texas. She used Viagen to clone two puppies from her former pet Samantha. That was back in 2018. And then in the same year, actually, you might find this interesting, the Sun newspaper reported that Simon Cowell, everyone's British judge from American Idol, was potentially cloning his three Yorkshire Terriers.
What? They've just got too much time and money, really.
Mm. And that's the thing. The thing is, if, you know, they've quoted the president of Viagen here saying that, you know, even if you're thinking about cloning an animal, you can... you know, store the genetic material for years. So you can keep it basically stored almost indefinitely before you need to clone the dog. So you could, you know, take the sample now and then 10 years time, you know, produce the identical dog. So
what is storing a sample cost, I would wonder. So I suppose.
Oh gosh, you'd imagine it'd be a lot. I mean, storing costs for, you look at, you know, probably comparable things like IVF and fertility and things like that. You know, there's a storing eggs it's a lot.
It's a nice way to sort of get you. Let me store your sample first while you have a think about it.
Yeah. And I'll just pocket some cash in the meantime. Yes.
Yeah.
Again, you know, interesting thing to note as well is that it's not always successful. You know, I think there was a 2018 report by Columbia University that put the average success rate at just about 20%. So it doesn't always, you know, take as well. I can imagine that's probably factored into the cost of it.
Nathan, could you imagine that? Like every time we have a failed sample, could you imagine me ringing the client and going, look, I'm sorry, your cloning's failed. Let's do it again. Give me another $50,000. Wow.
Yeah,
but you're right. They would most likely charge you based on having a conception rate. I'm just sort of looking through this Synergen cloning. I see they've done an Arctic wolf. That was the first dog they cloned.
Wow.
And then there's also some question about whether the lifespan is the same. You know, good question. You know, you I suppose you're reproducing something using the same somatic cell. I couldn't see that changing. There is discussion whether they live just as long. But again, there's probably been no dog that's... What was the first dog that was cloned? What year was...
I'm not sure. I know the sheep. I'm not sure about the first dog. I think it was probably in the early 2000s.
I did read somewhere there was an Afghan that was cloned.
Yes.
It'd be interesting to see if it's still alive.
Mm. But yeah, it's probably fair to say that it's not an area that Orovet's going to be branching out to anytime soon.
No. Look, and I'm even reading more here and they go, so at what age should you consider cloning? Well, however, we recommend you preserve your cells for your dog as early as possible. Well, of course you would, because every year you're charging me for a storage fee. You want me in there as early as you can. So, look, I don't know. Hopefully, you know, most of our listeners probably listen to this going, there's no way I'm going to claim. We just wanted to raise it. We wanted people to think about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, and who knows where the technology is going to lead? You know, obviously it's $50,000 today. But as the technology improves, you know, maybe it gets closer to 10, maybe it's closer to 5, you know, maybe it's, it ends up being not that much more expensive than you would pay for a new dog. And then those questions, you know, so who knows what what people look, decide.
And unfortunately, we did try and get one of these cloning companies on board to offer a free DNA cloning voucher.
Oh, I mean, it would have been a nice prize.
Yeah, but you know, we just couldn't get them to buckle at that low cost entry. It wasn't like they were giving away a full breed profile, but you know, we tried, but none of them came through. So anyone listening that thought we were going to have a giveaway of a, you know, store my DNA and clone it, unfortunately, no.
But I mean, one thing I do think that's very interesting, you know, we talk about this being something, oh, no one's going to do it, it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I think, you know, at Rightpaw, every, you know, every, I'd say at least a couple of times a month, we get an email from a member of the public who says, you know, I've just lost my dog of 15, 16, 17 years. Oh, I'm really torn up. I'm only just ready to get a new dog. But of course, they all want the same breed. So they do want the same, you know, I love, and I want another Cavalier or I want another Labrador. So there is definitely, you know, a relationship to a breed. But I guess the question for me is, would you want the exact same dog? I think there's you know, something lovely about having a new personality, a new, you know, member of the family.
Everywhere I read, Nathan, there's more cons than pros to cloning, no matter what you look at. So it's sort of interesting. We're almost doing that with genetics in a way now. We're able to screen and predetermine phenotypic, you know, colours and traits that you can then use to predict outcomes of your offspring.
Yes.
So it may get to a stage, when I've always said this, where the science will get so, you know, the next gen sequencing will get so precise and so affordable that you may be able to simply select it through, you know, the ability to sequence two close genomes and go, putting these together will give you this. Amazing. So I want a, you know, a chocolate Labrador with, you know, long hair gene, what, you could do it. So this is where it may get to.
Wow. And is any of that happening now?
Look, as much as I'd love to say yes, not, it's sort of getting there where, you know, if you put these particular combinations, you've got a 1 in 8 chance. What I'm saying is you'll have a 1 in 1 chance of getting it.
Yeah.
So you'll get to that level where you'll be able to say, you know what, you put these two together, this is what you'll get. I think that's where we may go to, and it'll be at a more affordable level than cloning.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, because, you know, you do know that members of the public, they want either a chocolate lab or they want a, you know, particular color you know, something like that.
As much as we don't like it, that's where it's sort of...
Yeah, there are people that want those and they'll wait for the right dog. So if you could guarantee that a dog, you know, an offspring is going to be of that particular trait, and breeders already, you know, are making those decisions now, but if you could, you know, guarantee it, make it even easier, then of course I think that just simplifies everything.
Exactly. And, you know, it's controversial too, because there'll be no reason to ask Genetic George. You won't be able to say, George, if I put these two together, what do I get? There won't be those apps that you sometimes use.
Well, I think Orivet can, you know, that can be another area, disrupting yourself.
Yeah, I'll be retired, Nathan. I'll be sitting on some island somewhere.
With your bucket hat.
Yeah, with my bucket
Orivet
hat.
Bucket hat.
With, you know, in the Bahamas, just listening to music and reading the newspaper. I think if it gets to that level, who knows, you know. We all sort of laughed at Dolly the sheep.
Yeah.
Didn't we? And look where we are today. We've actually got people paying.
Yeah, it's commercially, like, it's commercial technology you can pay for. And as you said, if you Google it, there is a Google ad that pops up, and they're from Viagen and they're from Synergene, and they are saying you can place that order today.
So hopefully all that comes out of this podcast is that people will Google cloning dogs, have a look, have a read, and then, you know, I may give a full breed profile voucher to someone who emails me and tells me in, you know, 3 or 4 sentences why they would clone their dog. Okay? Yeah. So email me why you would clone your dog. You know, be controversial, do whatever you want. I'm going to give the full breed profile to the person that gives me what I think is the best answer. And, you know, that could be comical, that could be emotional.
Yeah, it could be
answer.
Serious, yeah.
You could, you know,
I'm keen to hear what the listeners think.
Just tell me what
we've just chatted about it from our perspective, you know, all the research, but what, you know, we'd love to hear what you all think. So yeah, email george@orivet.com, and the best answer for why you would clone your dog, we'll get a full breed profile.
It wasn't, yeah, exactly. Would you pay 20,000? Would you pay 10,000? Would you pay 5,000 to clone? You know, if it was, because don't forget, things started at really expensive 20 years ago when it came to genetic testing, and now we're down to, so, you know, as the technology and the rate gets used more and more, pricing will come down. So what price would you pay? Maybe include that in your, you know, reply to George@Orivet.
Yeah, very interesting topic. And, you know, we just scratched the surface, but, you know, this, who knows where this is going.
And I've really enjoyed the face-to-face podcast because there's been less waiting for you to speak and waiting for me to speak.
Yeah, it's just been much more dynamic. Yeah,
telepathic.
Yeah.
Sort of more through eye contact.
This is the future of the podcast. We need to do this more.
I'll let everyone know, Nathan does not use any filters when he's doing the podcast with me. He's as is here, live in the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he looked, you know, early in the morning, sometimes he looks so bloody good on camera, but it's him, it's here. So it's to everyone, thank you, Nathan. Thanks everyone for listening. And we got the dogs asleep.
Oh, we've got the dogs asleep. Don't be too loud.
Leave them.
They're having a nice little kip.
You know why? They don't like the topic of cloning.
No, they're like, there's only one Charlie. There's only one me. They're looking at us going, no way. No way. Well, no, thanks to everyone. Thanks to all of our listeners. And George, we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, see you, Nathan. See you, everyone. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of What the Bark. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed the podcast. You can visit rightpaw.com.au for your all-in-one place to find responsible, verified breeders. And you can visit orivet.com.au for all your pet genetic testing needs. Remember to stay positive, and we'll see you in the next episode.